Two passages in Jeremiah has been selected for reading today. Jeremiah 46, verse 11. Go up to Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain you will use many medicines. You shall not be cured. And also chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
When we look at the first two chapters in the book of Jonah, we find an important word. The Bible says in Jonah 1:3, the prophet went down to the city of Joppa. The same verse says he went down into the ship. Verse 5 repeats how he went down into the ship, and then, of course, in chapter 2 and verse 6, the word down is used once again. In 2:6, the prophet says he went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Jonah said it was like the earth had bars, and these had closed around him. He went so far down, the Bible says, he felt like he'd been placed in a pit. This morning, we want to consider the direction that Jonah took, that is, down, and then we want to look at some of the solutions that were sought for his problems and to apply what we learned to our day and time. The first thing that I'd like to look at with you is the direction that Jonah took. Again and again, we read about Jonah going down, both literally and figuratively. And from this, we can make, I think, this point. Life without God or life apart from God is not good. It is a downward trip, no matter how it's looked at. Sometimes people think that life either without God or perhaps somewhat distanced from God, away from God, is good. And we find this thinking has been around for a long time. You may remember that Jesus told a story in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. There was a young man, presumably in good health, who decided that he wanted to take his share of the family inheritance and go far away from home. The Bible says he took his money. And he went not only far away from dad, but he went far away from God. Because in Luke 15, verse 21, the Bible says he acknowledges that he had sinned against heaven. This man, as he was in the far country, Luke 15:13 says, he took his inheritance and spent it on riotous living. What must have appeared to be a life of pleasure and sin was fun for a while, but he learned that it led to a downhill life. The young man learned the lesson stated in Hebrews 11, verse 25, that sin is pleasurable for a season. Jonah also got to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He managed to get on board a ship and perhaps think, I don't have to go do what my God wants me to do. He was able to fall fast asleep, and for a while it may have seemed that his will was being done, and that was being done without consequence. But eventually he learned the truth. He finally understood that he was really on a downhill trip. Eventually he learned the observation that had made by Solomon a long time ago. The wise man said, fear God and keep his commandments, because if we don't, it's a downhill trip. I added the last part. He said it's the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. That is, fearing God, doing his will. That is the core meaning of man's existence. Serving God takes people up. Rejecting him or not following him as it will brings people down. And as you look at the Bible, both testaments, you find this lesson being stated in a number of different ways. It's stated very early by the life of Cain. Here was a man who thought he would do his own thing, go his own way, and the Bible shows that he went down. The people of Noah's day learned that not following God and his will brings people down. Those involved with the Tower of Babel thought their project would go up, but the Bible says it came down. The Bible then later in the recorded history talks about Samson. He also was someone who went down. He lost his sight, was made a slave, and began to grind grain like an animal. The nation of Israel was a nation that went down. Jesus said that he would have gathered the people of Jerusalem like a hen gathers its chicks, Matthew 23, verse 37. They didn't want to do that. So the Bible promises through what the Lord said that they would be brought down, and that happened about 40 years later. Judas decided to betray the Son of God. We know how far he fell. Peter denied the Lord. He went down so far that he wept very, very bitterly. So when people refuse to do the will of God, both testaments show by a number of examples that they are headed downhill. And this point is true for both Christians and non-Christians. Jonah was a prophet, but his choice to be disobedient to God did not allow him to do what he wanted. He still was going to be headed downhill, and he probably slid further and faster than he imagined. Most people, when they begin to go downhill, eventually see the consequences of their actions. And once people see that they're headed downhill, they usually try some solution. And this is what we find in the book of Jonah. We find that the sailors who are on board the ship, when things were not going well, they tried to make some corrections. Jonah 1, verses 4 and 5, this has been read in previous weeks. I want to read it once more today. And here's what we find beginning in verse 4. But Jehovah sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten the load. Most ships have some kind of cargo on board, furnishings, and such was the case with this vessel. The people were on board. They could see that the storm was bad. So because of that, they decided to lighten the load to see if they could better things. They realized that property could be replaced, but the lives could not. Now, these men came up with, in their minds, what was the solution. But the Bible says lightening the ship's load did not work. From Jonah 1, verse 11, we have this additional point about the storm. Then said they unto him, that is, the sailors to the prophet, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? They'd thrown what they had overboard, and yet the sea still was not calmer. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. It grew worse and worse. The downhill direction was worsening. What we see described in the first chapter of Jonah is a magnificent lesson that helps us both on an individual level and a national level. In our country, we have a lot of problems. I don't know anybody who would deny that fact. And in many ways, our society is going downhill, and it seems faster and faster each passing year. Unwanted pregnancies are a problem. That's a fact that's generally admitted by people, and it's not a good problem. Our nation has begun to sink, as far as sexual sin, into probably what will be some historic lows. God's law regarding sexuality is so disrespected that fornication hardly raises an eyebrow. We have polygamy openly practiced in this country, at least in the state of Utah, and that's overlooked. Having more than one wife, it's tolerated openly by government officials. Adultery is so widespread that many no longer treat it as any big deal. And now the move is on for two men or two women to cross the border, to go into the country of Canada, get married, and after the Canadian marriage, the hope is to return to the United States and force some state to recognize the homosexual marriage, because the United States has an agreement with Canada that we honor the marriages that are performed there. And if fornication and adultery and homosexuality are not enough, we have several sexual diseases in our country. Our country is going down and down and down. And it's fair to ask, what's being done? Well, as we look at what's being done, we find the same technique being employed that is used in Jonah chapter 1. We have a bunch of people in our land who are just like the soldiers, the sailors in Jonah 1. The sailors tried to solve the problem by changing the weight of the ship. Notice, if you will, that they did not address the real problem. The real problem was a man who was fleeing from God, a disobedient prophet, trying to get away by using this boat, and the man, at least for a time, failed to recognize the true nature of the difficulty. And today in our country, we have people employing these same kinds of unsuccessful techniques. Consider the problem of fornication. What's the solution to it? Well, I'll tell you what I hear as I look at society. They say we need to better inform our kids. We need to offer them better training. We need to tell our children as they come up through the school years that they need to be safe. Another common solution is to distribute birth control in all the schools. We're told that adultery now is so common, surveys have been taken that nobody really cares about it, and we shouldn't be concerned. Since we're such a free and open society, same-sex unions need to be recognized. We need to alter our laws so that men can be together, women and women have a right to be joined. States need to give same-sex partners the same benefits, the same blessings that are enjoyed by husbands and wives. Our nation is sinking, and people continue to offer solution after solution. But the problem is just like Jonah 1. The solutions that are being offered are not working. The solutions are not working because people fail to understand the real problem. The fundamental problem in our country is a lack of respect for and a lack of obedience to God and His laws. When a nation refuses to follow God and His laws, it's going to have problems. Do you remember the scripture reading, Jeremiah 46, verse 11? What did the prophet say? He said, you have a lot of medicines. You go to the medicine chest and you have a prescription for everything. But then he says, you have a lot of drugs, but you have no healing. Now, in the context, that specifically applies to a judgment. But in principle, it applies well to the book of Jonah. The people on board the ship had a lot of medicine. They had a lot of different ideas, a lot of drugs that could be tried, a lot of different ways to approach the problem, but there was no healing. The storm did not stop. It could not be overcome. And the lesson is that when problems are not addressed in the right way, when the right approach is not employed, some things cannot be solved. And such is certainly the case as we look at our country. I've mentioned some of the problems that we face in America, but let's consider some others. We have problems with safety. This past week, there was another workplace shooting. Also, if you follow the news, there were some young people who planned, apparently, to go on a shooting spree and kill some people that they knew. And as we look at these solutions that are being used on a national level, we find that they're just like the ones being used by the sailors in Jonah chapter 1. We're told that we need to bring metal detectors into the schools. Bring in some drug dogs. Let's make more restrictive gun control laws. If we see someone who looks troubled or someone who appears to be upset, someone who's angry, report them because they might be a potential killer. The government has tried a lot of different ideas. Think back to the previous presidential administration. Do you remember the news reports which said we need 100,000 more police officers on the streets? You remember that? Well, the funding was put in place, but are things really any better? I think we'd all answer the question in the same way. Crime bills have been passed. We need a new crime bill. All right. Pass it. Has it really lessened crime? Things only get worse and worse, and the reason for this is also in the news. Consider, if you will, if you follow what is said, radio, TV, newspaper, consider all the talk about the separation of church and state. No Christian that I know of has ever wanted a government-run faith. We don't want a government church. And the law says that that's not right. But there is a difference in freedom of religion. That is, we can pick the faith that we want. This is good and right. And freedom from religion. And that's what society wants, at least by and large. And that's not right. Many want to completely dump everything that is related to God. And when a society makes that choice, or when people on an individual level make this choice, there are going to be significant problems. Our nation is making repeated attempts to ditch anything and everything related to God and His Word. Just a few days ago, and I probably should have clipped this out, it's in two or three publications, the word is beginning to circulate quite widely, but just two or three days ago, a new hotel, which is being put together, announced that Gideon Bibles would not be allowed in the hotel, at least in the rooms. They may make them available in a lobby area, but the chain broke with tradition, no more Bibles in the rooms. And there are some other hotels now that, looking at what this establishment is doing, is beginning to wonder, well, maybe that's not such a good idea to have Bibles in the rooms anymore. Let's go ahead and make available the Quran, and let's go ahead and make available the Book of Mormon and some other things so people can have variety. We've heard the stories about people suing to have the Ten Commandments removed from public property. That's associated with God. That's associated with the moral code. So we are going to sue you to get rid of it. When a nation such as ours begins to encounter problems, the modern solution seems to be we need more laws, we need more rules, we need more restrictions, and that's good as long as they are in no way associated with God. You may remember that Jesus once said that the Pharisees killed the prophets, and that's still being done. Not literally, but in a figurative sense, people don't want to hear about God, they don't want to listen to His messengers. That's what Jesus said, and in our day and time, a similar thing is being done, and this should not surprise us. I want to take a second look at the scripture reading that Sherman offered. I believe this was the second passage that he read, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. I didn't ask him to read all of this, but if you back up a little bit in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, you find the prophet asking a question. God says to the people, "What unrighteousness have you found in me?" And this question is appropriate for our day and time. America should be asking, what unrighteousness, what wickedness, how has God been unjust and unfair to us? God reminded the Hebrews in Jeremiah 2, verse 7, that He'd blessed them. And such a statement may also be made in regard to our country. God has blessed this nation. But the most frightening verse is verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. The Bible says the people of God forsook Him. And when we look at our country, is it not fair to say that such is also the case? By and large, this country is bent on forsaking God. And when God is rejected on either a national level or personal level, people are on a downhill course. Israel forsook God, and Jeremiah told the nation what they had exchanged Him for. The end of the verse says, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Imagine, if you will, a pot that holds water, or a container, and it's busted. Well, somebody's going to say that's useless. It's of no value. Let's not keep it. And it was a way of saying the nation of Israel tried to come up with various solutions for problems that did not involve God, and God said they do not work. The nation was trying what we read about in Jonah chapter 1. Now our nation is trying to do the same thing. We think, oh, we've got it straightened out. We've got it figured out. We're mighty. We're powerful. We're smart. The Bible says the approach has been used before. It's been used on a national level. It's been used on an individual level. And it does not work. And as each day passes, things get more and more out of control. I thought I had heard some pretty wacky stuff until 3 days ago when I came across another interesting item. In the state of California, textbooks have been rewritten. They've scrapped the old ones, which used to mention certain food items. In some of the textbooks, and I don't know what kind of class this was, but there were references to hot dogs and pop, cake, and butter. Now, some people in the educational establishment saw these things, and they said, well, just mentioning these items in the textbooks promotes adolescent obesity, so we need to go ahead and get rid of them. If we don't tell the kids about them, if they don't see that in the textbooks, then they're not going to be exposed to those things, they're not going to be eating those things, and lo and behold, we've solved the problem of adolescents being overweight. Brilliant solution, huh? God dealt with that a long time ago by two simple words, self-control. If you can't eat the hot dogs with success, God says avoid them. If you cannot control how much you intake as far as pop or ice cream, cake or candy, God says use some self-control. And yet the world says, oh no, we wouldn't want to bind that on people. That's a judgment call, so we'll just keep people in the dark. The more our nation rejects God, the nuttier it's going to get. Trying to solve problems without Bible-based solutions will cause us to continually falling. The Bible teaches us to pray for a nation and its leaders. If there has ever been a time in our country when these instructions are wise and right, it's now. All around us, what we hear says we need to pray for our nation and its leaders. Our country needs a lot of help because we are becoming, as every day passes, a society which is more and more degenerate. One of the ways that we can help our nation and one of the ways that we can please God is to be the kind of person that Jesus wants us to be. And if we do not make this choice, we're going to be like the disobedient prophet in Jonah chapter 1. Our nation will continue to decline, and we will follow it on the downward and downhill path. Jonah said he fell so far he went into the pit. Jonah chapter 2, I believe, verse 6. God does not want this for us, but the choice is ultimately up to us. We can go up and be with God, or we can head downhill with our nation and spend eternity with Satan. So as we in just a moment stand and sing the invitation song, we ask you this question. Do you want to go up and be with God or go down as our nation continues to slide and be opposed to heaven's will? The Bible says we start the upward path by being raised with Christ, Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. We say no to the ways of the world. In Romans 6, 1 through 4, Paul says we die to that way of life. The Bible also describes that as repentance once we believe in Christ. And then we're buried with Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. That occurs through baptism. We're immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And then in verse 4, Paul says we're raised up after we've been baptized to have newness of life. We're through with the downward path. We're headed up towards God, towards right, and towards his will. Have we been raised with Christ? And are we continuing to move or head in that direction? If not, we implore you to change while you still have an opportunity to do so. And will you not make that decision now as we stand and sing the selected song?